I think they're right up here.
Go ahead.
Here they are.
Dr. Cindy, that's what's giving the
picture. He's probably taking pictures.
Okay. We are facing the Church of the Nativity where Jesus Christ was born. This great church that you see, the great church that you see them by Emperor and the Mother of Constantine the Great from 326 AD. And it is considered to be the first church in the whole Christian world. The Church of the Nativity built in 326 AD by Emperor and it was completely destroyed by Khosrow, the king of Persia, 614, written by the Crusaders in the 12th century. Now, this is a Crusader church. When you look at the main entrance of this great church, you see a small opening there. Do you see that small opening? This small opening is the main entrance of this great church. You wonder why this great church has a small entrance like this. Yes, a small entrance. Again, look at the facade of this church. You can see that this church has a big gate. Consider, then the church with a big gate, and you still see the original frame of the original gate. Then the gate was made smaller twice. Why? There was a reason of making a small entrance to the great church. The people who used to travel. At that time, they used to travel with camels. Come to the church, and if you see the church, they have to go into the church with their animals. The camel, through the big gate. Why they had to leave their camel outside? They had to leave their camel outside because they think if they leave their camel outside, it might be stolen or get lost or something like that. So they used to take the chain of the camel and they used to go into the church with their camel. The Crusaders found that the only person to keep the animals out of the church is to make a small gate for a man to go through but not a camel. A camel can never make it. He can never enter to the church through that opening. So they made a small gate to convince people to leave their animals out of the church. So that's why we are standing inside the church of the Nativity where Jesus Christ was. And I want you to look down here to this building containing the very floor of the first church built by the Byzantine in the 1st century. It is the remains of the first church. Here you can see the remains of the second church built by Emperor Justinian in 521 AD.
And up there is the remains of the Crusaders and the Crusaders Museum is to be seen on the floor. So right here is the floor of the church in Byzantine.
Can I get something this morning?
People used to travel to the historic and the caravan on camels and so on. And they spent one time in the desert.
Before they go to the visit of Sinai, they used to come to Bethlehem and rent this tent and overnight at the Bethlehem by the temple.
Mr. Marks, please.
He was born here?
Yes.
Here we come to see the continuation of this period of the faith in which Jesus was born.
We have this book here, and that was the birthplace of Jesus, and this is supposed to be the continuation of the faith. That Jesus was one of the partners of the faith at the opening of our council.
See, we were just behind this wall. You remember when we saw the three chapters there? We were behind this wall when we saw the three chapters there, and there, here, is the main opening of this table of the Eastern Secret Church.
source of energy, that's fine.
Huh?
That's a source of energy up there.
Right.
Yeah. They heat the building and everything else, but we got
that. Huh?
We got
it. Does that mean you're a monitor?
Yeah. It's about what type of balance you got in there.
Captain, we came from the city of Bethlehem all the way down to the bottom of the valley. This is known as the field of Boaz and Ruth. And you know, Boaz and Ruth, they were the fourth generation of David. This is where Boaz was married to Ruth. I will give you chance to go up with us. This is where Boaz was married to Ruth. And this is where they used to grow the wheat and to supply the city of Bethlehem with wheat. Later on, this valley became to be known as the shepherd's field. This is where the angel appeared to the shepherd and announced the birth of Jesus. So they came from this field all the way to the cave of the Nativity, and they looked at Jesus when he was in the manger. So you can go up to the box for a picture.
About how far is it from here to the manger?
It's a matter of a mile and a half, 2 miles. But that's it.
So the Byzantine first bishop was in front of this place at the church, and the church was in front of the church of 614, and it was 16, and it is our church. This is a considered church that has been repaired by the constructed recently just 5 years ago. This church has a beautiful simplicity that is a simply church, especially as it was at the time of the church. So the simplicity is something in this great church. And here is the sound of the great poet. Oh,
the word of Jerusalem at the time of the Babel. You remember this morning when we went to the model of the second temple, and I showed you that full of Bethesda was outside, and it is where they used to wash the sheep before sending the sheep to the altar of the sacrifices. And you know the story when I told you that story about the pool. They went as far as the bottom of the pool. They found three levels. The family of the through the arc of the sea, you can see the original structure of the pool. This goes back in time again. And the arc that you see, what left of the Byzantine church, it was built in the 4th century AD. And on this side here, you see the remains of the Crusader church, built in the 12th century AD, about
Food of the patient. Covered with three levels. The level of the Roman, the level of the disease, and the seven So if you want to go as far as the bottom of the other side, the hidden part of the pool, you go through that arch there, and about 10-15 steps, and you'll be looking at the one of the sides of the pool, which is still visible. You can go down there, and this can take you. You can take.
How much time is that?
Attention, please. Remember, this morning we were looking at the mother of the earth. We saw the four powers of Antonia Fortress, and I told you that conscious pilot made from Antonia Fortress his residential palace, and also.
I'll take care of it. Yeah.
His residential palace, and also the judgment room where he was conducted. This content, what we are selling now, supposed to be selling above the lift of truck, the stone of the street of Jerusalem at the time of Rome. And also one third of the fortress of Antonia, which was destroyed in 70 AD by Titus, the son of the Roman emperor of the city. This is very interesting. Also, you are going to see the arch of Ichibombo, which was the main entrance of Antonia fortress. And the big system of water, where the Romans used to store the rainwater at that time. They have few models in this convent here. They show you how Antonia Fortress looks like and how Jesus moved out of the Gabbatha, out of the pagan floor, through the way of sorrow, up to Calvary or Golgotha, where the destruction took place. Now, in few minutes, one of the sisters will be coming and taking you all together to show you the art of the Homo and the pagan soul. But before we do that, if you want to go to the washroom, let's do it before you go down to the pavement for the special food. So let's, those who want to go to the washroom, please call me.
These washrooms at this point were for men and women both. They were not separated. You just went into the same restroom. I went in there and I was very embarrassed when I seen the women in there also.
The roof has been destroyed and rebuilt a great many times. The walls today no longer in the same position. The last time, those of the walls, as they are today, the raised part goes to the walls as they were. This means that the home upon the narrow wall outside is here, and the rest of the wall is now outside. And though at all that, we have shown the Pentecostal, shown the crucifixion, the cure of the resurrection, this whole just outside the wall is now revealed to the city. This means here is called the Age of Judgment, because here for the last time, some of the potential evil tendency of this past. The four pillars of the temple area, the western wall, where the individual people come to pray here. It is the temple valley, the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. Here goes a very quickly, the possible movement of Jesus from the first day to the Friday, shows the way to the same wall on the Friday. Jesus has had the last supper in the first Jesus, in the upper room of the temple, beyond Mount Sinai. After the apostles and disappeared in Galilee, he came to the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. Here Jesus prayed, and he prayed by Jesus, and he said in the Christmas. The least of the dead in Galilee came to all paths of the kind of some of the people count the paths of the first church, which is now standing now there. He was very costly. The days of this church, he was a simple Christmas, for he remembered Jesus' part, the third, the crying one, the
On Good Friday, we sing four parts of Friday. Now, this is a model of the Antonio Porter. This side is the room of the temple, and the same hall goes to the east. More than 1,000 of children in the hall, and this is the Antonio Porter. Now, in the center of this building, a large open courtyard. Somewhere in the city center, the courtyard ends in the dark of the yard. Given different names according to the translation of the Bible, the Jews, can be called the present, the east, the master, the Jews. In 1931, the south named the courtyard, around the house of the year, which ends down on the stage. First quarter of the year, the town of the courtyard, the first part of the world system, comes to the eighth stage of Adam's place, and the game is packed out of the stage. And at the far end, comes a very ancient road, and it's here that we remember the dear brother of the day of the dark.
Because the excavations were made after the church and convent had been built. Here we have a gutter which took the rainwater down to the huge cavities which were underneath the courtyard. Marked out here are games played by the Romans. Here we have a star with a symbol of the Roman eagle above it. Now this is the game of the king, Basilinda. It's the letter D for Basileus, it means king. A scorpion was the symbol of one of the Roman legions. A circle for a crown. On this stone we have a sword. It's been partially rubbed out. You see it much more clearly here. This photo was taken in 1931 when the markings were first uncovered. Now this game, the game of the king, was played by the Romans during a festival called the Festival of Saturnalia. And during the game, there was a mock king. Because of these markings in this game, this place has been chosen to remember that at one time, Jesus was made a mock king. In the Gospels, it tells us that Pontius Pilate asked this question, "Are you a king?" The Roman soldiers placed a scarlet garment on the shoulders of Jesus. They crowned him and knelt in mockery. Pilate, seated in his judgment seat, washed his hands, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man." Barabbas, another prisoner, was allowed to go free, and Jesus accepted the cross. So I'm going to walk right across the courtyard until you get to the road. To watch the stone, you should tell when you get to the road, because the surface of the stone changes. And you go to that place, you can see that they've been lined. This was done to roughen the surface so that the horses wouldn't slip. It's typical of a road at about that time. This part of the courtyard, there was a road that went right the way through the fortress. It's here, on this ancient road, that we remember the Via Dolorosa, Way of Sorrow. Jesus accepted the cross, carried along a road that led to the crucifixion, through the crucifixion to the resurrection. Many people like to give the Church of the Holy Sepulchre the name of the Church of the Resurrection. Around the entrance of the tomb, you'll find these words: "In last year, he has risen." Put your one at a time, specific for nothing, specific to the long time to get to know it. Next one, Mr.
This was the synagogue of Capernaum, rich man came to Jesus. As he was trying to prove that he has got enough money and he can go to heaven, he was rich and he can go to heaven. Jesus said to that man, "Go and sell your property and give it to the poor. You shall be the vision of the heaven and heaven and come on top." Then he said to his disciples, he said to them, "Really, I say, it would be much easier for a camel to go for the eye of the needy than a rich man to go to the kingdom of God." Now, I want you to look at how the meaning of Jesus was referring to. It's a small gate and a big gate. You know what is the passage of the eye of the needle that he was saying? You know, at the time of the woman, the gates of nature were like this, a big gate and a small gate within a big gate. After sunset, the God has to come and to close the big gate, and he has to open the eye of the needle. And he has to sit nearby the eye of the needle, that small gate, and to watch the people who are coming into the garden at night, moving their feet around the field. So, he has to keep an eye on those who are coming at night. If they are coming with the killer, they have to leave the killer outside the town, in the stable, and to go by themselves in the eye of the needle. Tomorrow morning, they are going to be the killer. So, this is what I'm trying to say. If you want to go to heaven, you will go to heaven to the right. And you can never have heaven to go to heaven. You can never get the group when you are in the need of God to go to heaven. You can't get the group. 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 You can never buy that. You can never get to the same time. If you have no faith, you can go to heaven. No faith, no faith. You can go to the eye of the needle, which is restricted for you.
I want you to look down there. You see the site of the excavation in around the Wailing Wall. Now this is the continuation of the wall. It goes as far as the corner, and this was the hidden part of the wall. You know, there were many houses standing here that didn't turn down, and they went digging and searching, and they came down to a level. That is the Umayyad level. They found the Muslim Umayyad in the 8th century A.D. built houses above the Roman period. Now they are digging in the Roman period. So you can see the continuation of the Wailing Wall all the way to the corner.
We've got a lot to learn here.
Will you come listen closer if you want to listen, if you want to hear the explanation? Come closer, please. I give you chance for a picture. You will be having chance for a picture. Listen to me first. We are facing the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. And the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall is what's left of the surrounding wall of the temple. You remember this morning we went to the mosque, and I was pointing to you where the red line, you remember? I told you that's supposed to be the location of the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. And that is the upper city of Jerusalem. And the people who are coming from the upper city of Jerusalem to the lower, they have to go through a bridge, you remember? To avoid going down to the bottom of the Cheesemaker Valley. So this is what's left of the Western Wall, and there also the hidden part of the Western Wall. You can see that there are so many buildings standing above the Wailing Wall, like, you know, the other part which has been excavated recently. Now, why it is known as Wailing Wall, or why it is known as Western Wall? Wailing Wall, Western Wall. You know, when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, also the Jews who were living here, they said, what's left of the temple? The answer was, not much left of the temple except the Western Wall. They said, let's go and wail for the coming of the Messiah as a Savior. Let's go and wail for the reconstruction of the temple. Let's go and wail for the loss of the Ten Commandments of Moses. Since then, it is known, or it became be known, as the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. The Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. And the Jews, up till now, since 70 AD, up till now, they come to this wall, they took this and accept the Western Wall. They said, let's go and wait for the coming of the Messiah as a Savior. Let's go and wait for the reconstruction of the temple. is go and well for the loss of the Ten Commandments of Moses. Since then, it is known, or it can be known, as the Wailing Wall of the Western World, the Wailing Wall of the Western World. And the Jews, up till now, since 70 AD, up till now, they come to this wall, they touch this wall, and they pray and they wail. And they wait for the coming of the Messiah as a savior. They wait for the reconstruction of the temple and for the loss of the Ten Commandments, I mean the seven nickels, which was in the Holy of the Holies at that time. Now, we came through the temple area, isn't it? We were walking through the temple area. Now, also the Jews, the very, very orthodox Jews, very religious Jews, they don't permit themselves to go into the temple area. See, they come to the wall, as far as the wall, and they serve this wall, and they pray, and they worship. They don't permit themselves to step into the temple area. They feel that they are guilty if they are going to that address, and they walk on the spot which was known as the Holy of the Holies, which could be anywhere in this area. But Reformed Jews, they don't mind. They go into the temple area and stand there. Now, we want to go as far as the wall, and you can see, ladies are praying. They are facing the wall and praying. So ladies can go there, as far as the wall, and they can take pictures. And gentlemen should go to the other side. You know, women and men, they must be separated when they come to the synagogue. You are not supposed to be mixed up altogether in a holy shrine. I mean, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, they don't allow the women and the men to stand together in a synagogue or in a holy shrine. They have to be separated. So, now, ladies, you can go as far as that wall, take pictures. Gentlemen, you follow me to the other side, and then in 10 minutes' time we'll meet in the stages, okay?
Crawford out to you. I had my eye on him a while ago, but I lost him. There they are. See him right over by the first gate. See him? Crawford and Pasley. Coming out, halfway out, over against the wall over here. See him over here? Over to your left. To your left. To your left. A little further. Cool. Here they come out the gate here. See them? All of them, right over here. They're all coming out the gate, John. See them?
Yeah, see that school we got? That's the old Harvey John Road. It'll be a fancy man. That's the school. That's the scripture. The old original scripture. He's on the road.
Never act fair to it.
Had they come back?
They just woman. I don't know. You got them waving by now. There's something to do.
Okay, you got that camera.
Come on.
Look there, it's on the wall.
Hit it up.
Once we came through that opening that door, we are in the temple area. And the temple area today covers about 36 acres. And it is known as the mosque. There are two mosques. In this area, they are standing on the side of the temple. The gold dome, which is known as the Dome of the Rock, and in Aqsa Mosque, this one. And this mosque was burned 5 years ago by an Australian. I don't know if you read in the papers that an Australian, one of the hippies, and you see there are so many crazy hippies today. One of the hippies came here and he set a fire in the mosque. There. And that caused big trouble in Jerusalem at that time. And when he was made prisoner, they found that he's mentally sick. And they kept him in a mental hospital. Now this mosque was badly damaged. And it was built in 720 A.D. And it was badly damaged. Now it is under construction. Let's go first and take a look at this mosque, and then we'll go to, because you are going to miss it. This is the most beautiful dome in the whole world. It is solid gold, the whole dome from inside. So take off your shoe.
Can I get
dead.
Part of that gold?
Yes, I'll give you. Bye. I mean, take off your shoe. If it is trouble, just take it, you know. Don't miss that place. The Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And there is this thing in front of you. This thing here, in fact, it's pump water from the system. You know, the Muslims are required to wash the face, the hands, and the feet before attending the service. They can do it anywhere they want. They can do it at home. But they'll be having the last chance to do it here before going to the mosque here. So it is what we call the ablution of this. And let's stand there. I want to tell you the whole story of this area before we enter the other mosque, so you understand what. Attention, please. Now here,
we come to the temple area. You know, this is Mount Moriah where Abraham wanted to sacrifice his son Isaac, and this is where King Solomon, the son of David, built his great temple on the top of the Rock of Moriah. And the temple was completely destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, in 586 B.C. So the followers of David and Solomon, they have been taken from Jerusalem to Rome to their captivity, where they stayed for almost 49 years, and afterward they were allowed to return back by King Cyrus, the king of Persia, who conquered the Babylon. So the temple and the city of Jerusalem were rebuilt, but magnificently restored by Herod the Great in 37 B.C. The second great temple was built by Herod the Great in 37 B.C., and it is where Jesus used to come and to preach, and this is where he came and disagreed with the Sadducee and the Pharisee, and this is where he said, give what to Caesar to Caesar and what to God to God. So the second great temple was completely destroyed by Titus, the son of the Roman Emperor Vespasian, and that was in 70 A.D. After 70 A.D., after the destruction of the temple of Herod the Great, no temples ever built in this area. No temples ever built in this area at all. So afterward, Hadrian came and he reconstructed the city of Jerusalem in 135 A.D. He reconstructed the city of Jerusalem in 135 A.D. And Hadrian, the builder of the city of Jerusalem, did not pay any attention to the temple, because to him means nothing. As a Roman emperor, he doesn't care much for where Abraham was trying to sacrifice his son, and he doesn't believe in that. So this area left neglected area for centuries. For centuries. Up till 636 A.D., when the third caliph of the Muslims, Umar al-Khattab, entered Jerusalem. You know, the Muslims came and they ruled this country under a caliph called Umar al-Khattab. And Umar al-Khattab, when he came here, he was looking for the Rock of Moriah, searching and looking for the Rock of Moriah. To him, it is an important spot, because according to what has been mentioned in the Quran, that Muhammad, the Prophet, made his journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. And from the Rock of Moriah, he was taken up to heaven to receive the message of God. When he received the message of God, he came back to the Rock of Moriah, and from the Rock of Moriah he went back to Mecca during a journey night. So Muhammad went up to heaven via the Rock of Moriah. So that's why he came and built a wooden mosque around the Rock of Moriah, and he preserved that rock. Later on, and in 691 A.D., the Umayyad Khalif Abdul Malik bin Marwan, the Khalif of Damascus, built this great mosque, which is known as the Dome of the Rock or the Mosque of Umar. And it is considered to be the richest mosque in all over the world. It is very rich in gold, ceiling, mosaic, marble, and time. The mosque we entered just now is nothing, just a simple one. But when you go inside, you'll be surprised. The ceiling of this dome is 21 karat gold. And you think how the people of the time produced such beautiful dome. So, this mosque considered to be the third holy spot to the Muslims. The first holy spot is Mecca, where Abraham built the Shrine of Kaaba and where Prophet Muhammad was born. The second holy spot is Medina, where Prophet Muhammad was buried. And this is the third holy spot from where he made his heaven journey. So this is the third holy spot to the Muslims. So let's go there. Have you enjoyed it? Yeah. You missed it.
Sure. Well, I knew I was going to miss it.
Yes, sir.
I didn't go in there. Now, if that, the old temple sat there, if the altar was there, which it was, no doubt about it, then the main part of the temple had to be back there.
My dear friend, look at this.
Okay, you tell us about it.
This dome here, or this is where we were. If this was the altar of the sacrifice, the temple couldn't be here.
That's right.
This is right. If this was the altar of the sacrifices,
yeah,
the temple shouldn't be here.
Right,
because
right.
You can never sacrifice and bring blood into the temple. It has to be outside in the courtyard of the Gentile. So the temple could be down there.
Could be.
More to the silver dome. The gold dome is supposed to be outside in the courtyard. Is it clear?
Well, it had
so to the temple easy. Could be exactly the area where you sat and took that picture.
Right. The temple could be.
Yeah, where you sat
of
and
the, off of the animal.
Outside.
Now that be the
This is the altar. The sacrifice has to be outside. So, where is the temple? It's where you sat on the stairway for the picture.
Okay,
and all the way to the silver dome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most.
Okay.
When they have a service here, one of the priests has to stand there and the imam to lead the prayer. Out of the old city of Jerusalem by King Herod's gate.
This was it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's King Herod's gate.
Yeah, King Herod's gate. You remember we have entered the city of Jerusalem by St. Stephen's gate. And now we came out by King Herod's gate.
Thank you. talking about it. I mean, this is lying on the ground. It's not the same. They use it just like as it was in some of the Bible. And I think they also must have a reason for keeping the tree from my story. And if it's rooted, the place will be on a red sun in the morning, you know, the morning too. At 5 o'clock in the morning, at the summertime, the sun will be red. So the mighty of the grave lying on the red shore, and that they are, I mean, they are treated. That kind of place is sweet, much sweeter than the other one for the other things in hand. So when they leave it on the soil, on the red soil, it will be more sweet.
And they carried the three kinds of food in a big bunch. on a stick on their shoulders for 5 days from here all the way back to Kadesh Barnea. They look at the proof to them that they have entered the Rabbin. How can Jeshua and Caleb, how can they go back to Moses and tell them, oh, we went to the land of Canaan, it is beautiful, and they gave a description from their own mind. How can they prove it? What was the proof? They have gathered figs, pomegranate, and grapes. In Kadesh Barnea, in Sinai, there's no fruit at all. The only fruit was there, the haste. So they wanted to prove to Moses that they have, we have entered the land of Canaan, and here is the evidence. If you have any doubt that we didn't enter the land of Canaan, here's the grape, eat it. Here's the fig, you don't have it here. So we made it. So they went to Beriah Pishkut, they came here, and this Beriah Pishkut goes all the way down to the west. And they have gathered the three kinds of fruit, fish, pomegranate, and grapes. Now, when you look at my sign here, you know, the Ministry of Tourism made from the emblem of Yeshua and Caleb and the grapes and the fish and so on is the sign of the tourism and the culture of Israel. So, you see this emblem on tourist card and guides and so on. So, Yeshua and Kenneth makes the Bay of Ishmael and David the Bay of Ishmael. I don't know whether you would be able to take pictures about the light. Would you care for pictures? Okay, you can go out of the bus for that if you want.
I'll just film this valley.
He's good.
Pomegranate, figs, and grapes.
Okay, Josh and Phil. Yes, sir. If you have to go after the bus
for the picture, those who want to go after the bus for the picture, please do. It's too dark from here.
Not much light anywhere. So.
No, I don't think so. It's going to be worse. But take it now, it's better. Because I listen to the weather because at noon it's going to be more worse. I mean, there will be more rain. So, it's better to keep
it. Moses received the three kinds of fruit. Three kinds of fruit. And then to the highest of